Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan along with my lovely wife and a lifelong student of God's Word, Sheila Crawford, who will be sharing in a minute. But first, let's ask God for His blessing on tonight's program. Abba, Holy God of Israel, You gave us Your Son, our Messiah. We use the power of the name of Jesus against any evil forces that lurk around us. Guide us by the light of Your Word, and let every verse increase our faith and our wisdom, so to effectively discern truth from error that is increasingly permeating our world and sadly filters into Your church. We pray for these recent prayer requests we now hold in our hands as we constantly lift up to You all our loved ones for their salvation. We bless You, O Lord, and ask that You shine Your light on tonight's study as we wait on Your return. We will honor and glorify You alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you, dear. And shalom again. And let me just say, never stop praying for your unsaved family, even praying that God does whatever unpleasantries it might take to bring your loved ones into His kingdom.
Yeah, you know, so that's so right. We so often pray God's hand of protection over our unsaved family.
Yeah.
When really we should be praying God's will be done to bring them to the altar.
And that can be a tough thing to do.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
But Hosea does say, in their affliction they will seek Me. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are now in the season of repentance, or teshuva in Hebrew. We have been teaching on this important 40 days for the last few weeks. And remember, you can always go to our archives on shofarministries.net to listen to any past program.
Okay. So what pertinent news do you have for us this week?
Well, pertinent? I don't know,
yeah,
but
I don't know how pertinent Hillary is.
Well, I just want to mention a couple of things. Both presidential candidates were in Ohio, I believe, this weekend. Clinton was right here in Cleveland just yesterday and had another terrible coughing spell, calling it allergies. It was kind of sad to watch her last night on YouTube, but thought I might mention tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, NBC is conducting what they are calling a forum. Hillary will talk with Matt Lauer for a half an hour, and then in a different location, Trump, or maybe he goes first, I'm really not sure, but we'll also have a half hour to answer questions as well. So it'll just be like a half hour of commercials from both sides. Kind of the same old thing, I'm thinking, but I mention it because there are those who think that these forums just might replace the debates, which would make a lot of people pretty angry. I don't know, but many are questioning whether Hillary is well enough to do any one-on-one debate.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't think so either, but we'll soon see.
Yeah, well, Trump's been saying that for months, that she can't handle it. Why doesn't the Democratic Party just nominate someone else?
You wonder, but I think it's because she is very popular, especially with liberal women, and once they get her elected, and that's the key, they get the Democrat elected, they do have a Jesuit-trained vice president ready to step in that probably wouldn't be able to beat Trump if he had to replace Hillary right now. So they're going to try to get her in. I also heard that George Soros said over, I guess, a hot mic, that he knows Trump could easily win the popular vote, but not the Electoral College.
Yeah, you know, they're probably already bought and paid for.
Yeah, I would concur. Praise the Lord, though, we do have access to other real news on the Internet because the regular media, even Fox, isn't reporting any important real news of much substance.
What do you mean? They covered Mother Teresa's inauguration to sainthood on Sunday morning.
Of course. They are all devoted to the Pope, and now they have another deceased person they can pray to.
Now that's a heartbreaker.
It is really very sad.
Okay, in other news.
Well, the G20 meeting began Saturday in China. on the first day of Teshuvah, and our president was actually shunned when he was leaving his plane. Do you know that there was no stairs for him to exit on? So he had to exit the emergency door from the back of the plane. However, they did have the red carpet stairs waiting for Russia's president and India and Brazil's and South Korea. Obama's arrival came soon after the American reporters and Susan Rice, who's our national security advisor, had a shouting match with a Chinese official over the American press being there. I guess they just want the Chinese press, who would, of course, show China in its best light.
Yeah, well, that's not good. Certainly showing a lack of respect for Obama, but, you know, they think he's a clown.
Well, it was probably intentionally done to make the United States appear weak and less important to the rest of the world. And it looks, if looks could kill, they would have between stone-faced Obama and smirky Putin, who can't seem to agree on how to bring peace to war-torn Syria. You know, Russia is still firmly backing dictator Assad, providing military assistance and warplanes, where America is on the side of what it calls moderate anti-Assad rebels and Kurdish forces, or I should say were. But now, since our failed coup in Turkey, they are actually helping Turkey.
And Turkey really hates the Kurds.
Yes, it's just a mess, as you might expect when you see allies changing allies.
That's how the devil likes it, confusion and chaos.
Mm-hmm. And this month, we can pretty well say there's coming a lot more confusion, and especially if this is the year of his last trumpet sound.
How's Israel's borders doing these days?
The IDF defines the Syrian border as stable, despite a number of incidents of stray fire and mortar landings. But Israel is, at this point, bracing itself for the day after any diplomatic peace arrangement might be reached in Syria, because then the jihadists will undoubtedly turn their attention to Israel. This possibility is behind a series of drills conducted by the IDF along the Syrian and Lebanese borders to train for any combat against Hezbollah and ISIS terrorists.
Who are also on Israel's southern Sinai border with Egypt.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well. And to really kick off this month of Teshuvah, there was the opening of the ecumenical movement in Jerusalem, which is supposed to be bringing together actors, artists, musicians, and persons in media from around the world. And, of course, leaders from Roman Catholic, Muslim, Jewish communities, and even some well-known Protestant turncoat pastors are gathering for one of the largest and longest interfaith services in world history, combining the three monotheistic faiths all under one roof in a house of worship for all believers of the same God.
Yeah, the same God. Yes, yeah, so we know his name.
This is an abomination, really,
yes,
and why this season that the unrighteous pick to gather together has to be coerced by Satan as a slap in God's face.
But vengeance is his, saith the Lord.
It surely is, and it's coming upon the whore of Revelation 17. Of course, we knew it was coming from Scripture, but to be alive and see it come together, I'm telling you, it just puts shivers up my spine.
Well, you know, the Pope's been trying to do something like this for years and years.
All of them.
we all worship the same God.
That's what
yes.
they say.
Uh-huh. They do. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And we will be in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God on September 22nd, talking about the rapture and the fall feast. Okay, time to move on to the scriptures. Micah 7, right?
You are right. And, of course, a few others. But since the Feast of Trumpets will be here in about 3 weeks, we thought we might look at a few of the scriptures in the Old Testament. And we've done this before, but not for a while. And it undoubtedly suggests a pre-trib rapture. So while you're turning to Micah 7, let's do just a short review of the past 2 weeks about this very special 30-plus 10-day yearly season in preparation for his fall appointments. And this season is again called Teshuvah in Hebrew, which means to repent or return toward the Lord and his ways, and to stop leaning on your own human understandings, but rather to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. And that's from Proverbs 3.
Yeah, in Hebrew, it actually means to make our way smooth.
That's right. I like that. Of course, as Christians, through our risen Christ, we never have to think about being taken out of the book of life, as the Hebrews thought. But as the bride of Christ, certainly a closer walk with Jesus,
as the song goes,
yes, is always an important goal. And Teshuvah can serve as a strong reminder that judgment is coming some year towards the end of the season of Teshuvah. Now, for the bride, we will leave and go to our wedding and receive our rewards at the Bema Judgment, which are really based on just how close you are to your Savior. We have often referenced that there is a book of remembrance written in Malachi 3:16, where every time you even think about him, it's written in his heavenly book.
Yeah, check it out. You know, it's so often overlooked.
So anyhow, the Israelites every year, just prior to what they knew could be a possible resurrection, wanted to be sure that they were in a good stance with God, especially in the area of forgiveness to others. Now, as Christians, we can certainly glean many truths from understanding this season, as we should learn about all the seasons laid out by the seven appointments of our Lord in Leviticus 23. I promise you, as it did me, having a basic and non-legalistic understanding of all the biblical seasons automatically draws you closer to him. That's the simple truth, hands down. It just does. Knowing about the biblical feasts, it's like a magnet that just keeps pulling you more towards Yeshua. Now, who wouldn't want that? Remember, these are written down appointments in his word that our Lord made with his people. First Israel, and now we are his people too, grafted in, Romans 11 says, but totally under grace, free from the law, which Galatians 3 explains, was just a tutor for Israel so they could see their Messiah. Now, some do, but many still do not, but will soon, like Joseph's brothers finally recognized him, and that was during troublesome times, which is coming again for Israel, which is why it's called Jacob's Trouble. And don't fall for those that say the wrath is only the last half of the tribulation and we will be here for the first half. Not so, no way. The wrath begins when Jesus opens the scroll in Revelation 5 and the sealed judgments begin in chapter 6. And okay, maybe in the beginning not as severe, but wrathful just the same when you see a fourth of all the population is killed, and by the fifth seal, many martyrs are already in heaven under the altar. So the first half is no cakewalk. And we do read in Revelation 6, verse 16, again, still within the seal judgments, that it is even described as the wrath of the Lamb. And now this is important. The King James Version and the New King James have stayed with the original text of the Greek Textus Receptus, where most of the other translations have taken some misleading liberties. Let me read Revelation 6, verses 15 through 17 of what it truly says in context. And again, this is still the beginning of the tribulation of the seal judgments. And it says, Revelation 6, verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the commanders, I should say, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves." I think of those underground tunnels that they have today. "And in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So many of the other translations use the word "their wrath" instead of "his wrath," even though it clearly says the Lamb's wrath right before in the previous verse. Now let me tell you why they do that. There are some with their own agendas who want to make us think the first half of the 7 years is not that bad, and we will be here for it. I even heard a prominent teacher say the beginning of the tribulation was Satan's wrath, not God's wrath, even though Scripture's clear. I was stunned to hear him say that. But then I saw some other translations that, when taken out of context, he could justify what he claimed. But again, this is why you must study yourselves the Word of God. And please invest in an interlinear and always read in context. I've known for quite some time that my real calling is to strongly encourage the saints themselves to go deeper in the Word, to see things for your own self. And I pray this added revelation might persuade you to do that. Now, here's another important point. According to the Jewish customs, all honeymoons, which we will be having with the Jewish Jesus, has to be for a period of 7, which is the number of completion. And that's confirmed in Genesis 29. Now, this is a classic example as to why we who are called by his name need to learn more about these things to understand what Jesus will do. He purposely implemented these customs so we, his betrothed bride, can be informed as to how it will be. He does not want us to be ignorant, but he does want us to do the searching. And Proverbs 25:2, of course, confirms that. Learning, like everything else, is a choice. And in these last days, there's no denying knowledge has increased. Secular knowledge, obviously, but certainly God's intimate knowledge too, especially today. As, praise the Lord, we are seeing more of his bride, at least somewhat curious about our Jewish roots. You know, when I was growing up, my faith was called Judeo-Christianity. Somewhere along my life's journey, the Judeo was dropped. I think we should pick it up again. And if your pastor or Bible teacher tells you you don't need to at least have some knowledge of the major areas, as in the feasts, it might be time to move on, or for certain, do your own research. Well, perhaps that's why you are listening to this program. And may you be especially blessed for doing so. Okay, a favorite Old Testament scripture concerning our departure before the 7 years of God's wrath is in Micah 7. Reading it in context, let's begin in verses 1 through 4, where we're going to see God setting the stage by informing us of this season where the fruit, which would have normally been ripe, obviously was in the fall, and it was not. The fruits that grow during the summer should be ripe by the fall. And unripened fruit is a type of those not producing good fruit, no good deeds. In other words, not upright. So verse 1 in Micah 7 says, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes, but there is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires." So clearly, it's the early fall season. And then in verse 2, it says, "The faithful has perished." That word for perish is abad, number 6 in your Strong's, and it means also means to vanish or disappear. Okay, so let me read that again. The faithful man has disappeared from the earth, and there is no one, not just some, it says no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. So this is clearly not a good time. So after the faithful leave, the next two verses describes their wickedness. And verse 3 starts off by saying that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince, which is another name for your president or the ruler of your country, asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. Boy, is that true. And the great man utters his evil desire. They scheme together. The best of them is like a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Wow, that's saying a lot. Now, if you go back to verse 2, let me just summarize this. At the moment of the rapture, all the righteous are gone. Complete darkness, which will give Satan his ultimate power, because that's one of the reasons why we have to leave. Right now, we are restraining Satan because of our light. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 tells us that. We're restraining him. But as soon as we leave, his power, Satan's power, will be increased, because the light won't be here to restrain him. And then right away, the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel will have a revelation, get saved, and supernaturally are sealed and taking our place on earth for witnessing. As they are now called, after we're gone, they're called the first fruits of the last day. So think about it. Did you ever wonder why John describes the 144,000 in Revelation 14:4 as being the first fruits? Let me read it for you in verse 4. He says, "These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." Okay, he's describing spiritual harlotry. They are virgins like we are a virgin bride. "These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb." Now think about this. How could John call the 144,000 the first fruit, the first fruits, if we are still here? Today we are the first fruits of his Holy Spirit church age. Romans 8:23 says so. Just like Israel used to be the first fruits of the Old Testament in Jeremiah 2:3. It says, "Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase." You see, there's different dispensations. Okay. I hope I didn't give you too much today, but we're going to have some more Old Testament scriptures next week. Perhaps some, this could be the season, saints. So please get deeper in the Word right now, because again, more Word, you'll get more armor. So precious ones, if you are listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, remember, Christ died for you. He paid your debt for sin. Accept him into your heart. He's knocking, but he's not going to knock it down. You have to open the door. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, shall prosper. And that's in Psalm 122, verse 6. So let's anxiously await his return. Get in the Word, and I'll talk to you next week.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.